Ecclesiastes in chapter 11. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now I must confess that at times in the issue of giving reports of the Lord's work, like we endeavored to do yesterday, I wonder if there is the question, why does God seem to work so much in foreign fields, and maybe not as much here at home? And I don't know the answer for that, but it would seem that God has his times and his seasons. And maybe the power that was seen in blessing in these countries in years gone by, God is now pleased to demonstrate his power in other countries that for centuries lay in absolute darkness and blindness. Of course, there is also the issue of the governmental dealings of God with nations, nations that once saw very much of God's blessing, but turned away from light that was shed upon them. Now today, for the most part, are hardened, as it were, to the gospel, and very, very little fruit is seen. Of course, you don't in any way relate fruit to the faithfulness of the men involved. Very, very faithful men over the earth's broad acres have labored for God very, very hard, and yet have not seen the fruit of their labor, sometimes even in their own lifetime. And so I want to share with you just a few thoughts that I trust will encourage you and myself as we seek to get involved in the great responsibility of spreading the gospel seed. You know, this little passage here, these six verses, begin with what I think is maybe a statement that is designed to summarize all of what follows up to verse 6. That is often a technique used by Hebrew writers. The statement with which they begin, and then that introduces what they are going to speak about. You remember the very first verse in our Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the rest of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is an enlargement or an explanation of that statement. Now here's a verse at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. That is very well known, and maybe we can look at it together this afternoon. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I remember when I was a boy and thought of this verse or heard it, I thought of breadcrumbs or even pieces of bread being thrown on the water. And somehow then maybe they would return to the place where you had thrown them. Of course, that would only happen if the current was right. But I don't think that is the meaning of this verse. Some see here encouragement to be liberal with earthly riches and to give with generosity. And someday, like with the man in Luke chapter 16, the parable at the beginning of that chapter, someday that generosity shown to others will then be seen in one's own experience in times of need. Now, obviously, that could be seen in this passage. Actually, these verses are like the financial column of the newspaper. You'll see here ideas about uncertainty, and we would call it today market nervousness. And are conditions proper for investments and so on? We're going to see in a minute, we can find in these verses the idea of a diversity in a portfolio, for example. And we're going to see something about risk. And then obviously there are several statements here that speak of return, but that is not my subject this afternoon. Now then, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. One possibility here is the idea of seed, even though it's the word, the actual word for bread, like lechem, like Bethlehem, the house of bread. That's the word here. Cast thy bread upon the waters. In Egypt, apparently when the Nile River overflowed and waters covered what would then become known as alluvial plains, it was all covered with water, there was the practice of, from their boats, spreading seed in that area. And when the water would recede to its normal level, then soon the seed would sprout and grow, and after many days, they would see a harvest. And so you can see there the idea, we might mention it towards the end of our remarks, in the Psalms, of the man that goeth forth bearing precious seed, and he weeps. He would love to be able to feed his family, but he sacrifices seed, and out of sight, for a while then, it bears precious seed and he returns with rejoicing. Another very common way of looking at this verse is the idea of putting grain on a ship. If you read Young's literal translation, he says, send forth the grain over the seas on the surface of the waters. And the idea then would be of a merchant that loads a ship with grain, and away it goes to a far country, but then it returns with trade and with income, so that cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Some even see here the thought of doing things that perhaps are seemingly pointless. And maybe even at times it seems like a waste. But after some time, that which was thought to be of no value will produce revenue. And that is more or less what I have in mind this afternoon. I want to apply these verses to our gospel endeavors. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I want to think very simply of four things in these verses here, but particularly verse 1. I want to speak then, first of all, of the toil. If it is bread cast on the water, or seed, or grain, There is toil involved. There is work. And the writer says here in verse 2, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. So I want to think for a minute of assemblies and believers as we seek to spread the gospel, how we need to faithfully sow the seed. And one day, God promises we will see results. So that there is our gospel work. Now, I know a lot of believers maybe at times get disheartened and discouraged about so few unsaved coming in to a gospel meeting. And then there's Sunday school work and work with the children. And we can sow the seed amongst them. I had opportunity one time to visit a place in the Orient for a conference. And in a Muslim country, I was very, very surprised, obviously because of my background, I was very surprised to see an enormous Catholic church in a Muslim country. And by law, it was impossible to proselytize among Muslim people. And believers could be severely reprimanded and suffer terribly if they did so. So I asked the question, how come in this place that is so Muslim, there could flourish a large Catholic church? The answer was, well, they arrived many years ago, and the first thing they did was start a school. And they started working with children. And then they started a hospital. And I know we don't take our cue from the systems of men, but just by way of illustration, you know, there's a tremendous potential with the children. And children in our neighborhoods, and believers that could maybe have contact in the neighborhood and bring the children into the home. And as believers have done, at these times, maybe the rental of a building. An elderly sister really encouraged me the other night, telling me of a Bible study in her house. And then there are maybe hospitals and prisons, and there's rehab centers, and there's the old gospel paper and the giving out of tracts, and the maybe door-to-door visitation is so difficult. I've noticed a few times I've been north. And so we need to think of many, many ways we can diversify any effort that is made to get the gospel out so that the seed might be sown. He says in verse 2, give a portion to seven and also to eight. Don't restrict gospel work to just a Sunday night inside a gospel hall. I dearly appreciate that, and God has promised to bless the public preaching of the gospel. But I do think that there are many other ways in which the assembly could also reach out to the community. And you know your circumstances particularly better than I do. And I'd just like to encourage you this afternoon, young people, you know, these seed sower efforts and canvassing areas with texts and maybe going back and visiting again. Did you receive a text? And what do you think about it? And maybe an article at a university posted, if there's the possibility of doing so. You can think of many, many other ways and try and be creative as you try and sow the seed in your community. Now then, the second thing that I want to notice here, not only is the toil involved, but there's the trial or the test. You know, there are things that are inevitable that will happen and maybe impede and discourage at times. The clouds full of rain, and they empty themselves upon the earth. Verse 3, and there's the tree that falls, and there it will stay, whether to the north or to the south, and we can't change those things. And we live in a country where maybe sometimes laws and bylaws are put in place, and it is so difficult. I remember a Venezuelan brother came to Vancouver, and he couldn't believe that there was so little giving out of gospel papers. So he was there for a year to do research in the university in the Department of Chemistry. And one day he took some tracts to the university and he gave them out to all his colleagues. And I can't remember if it was the dean or who it was came to him and said, "Now, that's not allowed here. You have to go pick all those up." So he went back and he collected as many as he could. And he thought that was strange. And so then he thought, "Well, I'll do it on the bus." And he gave everybody on the bus a gospel paper. And the bus driver asked him to stop doing that and to collect them. And then he did it in a mall parking lot. And he got in trouble with security. And he thought to himself, no wonder people in Vancouver are very careful when it comes to giving out gospel papers. So we need to be prudent. We need to be careful. And yet at the same time, we need to try and get out in whatever way we can with the gospel. But then there's a man here down in verse 4. He observes the wind and he doesn't sow. And he sees the clouds and the rain and he doesn't sow. And so there's sometimes timidity, or we could think of nervousness. And well, if I do this, well, maybe it's not just the time. And, you know, we found in Mexico, just as an example, many times, impromptu series of meetings. Someone dies suddenly, or some connection, there is trouble in the family, and instead of just always leaving it to planning far ahead and maybe just a year in advance, right when we see a stir or someone in the family gets saved, house meetings, and away we go. And it's often series of meetings that we hadn't planned very much that God comes in and blesses. So if we get too nervous and if we get too timid, we'll fold our hands, we'll cross our arms, and we'll never get out with the gospel. And then we read down at the end there, verse 6, the need of continuity or persevering. As we're toiling for God and spreading the gospel, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. You know, I remember, again, living in Vancouver, I noticed that young fellows my age were very active as long as they were single. This is no criticism to marriage or to the wife, but then they would get married. We never saw them again. And unfortunately, sometimes that zeal that we had in our youth, we get into middle age and responsibilities of life and the occupations and the burdens and so on, and our gospel zeal seems to dissipate. Here he says, whether in the morning of life, should we apply it this way, or in the evening of life, thank God for older saints. I think of that sister back in Iowa that every day packaged, I think it was 1,000 texts. She couldn't go out door to door. She couldn't go publicly preaching. She was quite frail, but young men would bring boxes of texts and bags, and there she sat at her kitchen table, 1,000 a day. So to have a zeal in the gospel, whether in youth, middle age, or old age, from morning to evening of life, to be exercised about this work of getting the gospel out. Now, the third thing I want to notice is not only the toil involved, it will be hard work. You know, especially, for example, in Sunday school work, you might get a piece of gum stuck on the bench or the seat of your vehicle. And you might get your car a little soiled or something. And it might sometimes affect the carpet in the hall or the home or so on. And it might cut into free time that we would love to have for other activities. There's toil involved in getting out the seed. And there's testing involved. And there's circumstances that we need to overcome and get on with the work. But then I think thirdly of the time involved. You know, we live in a society, and especially you would know more of this than I do, but because Whether you believe it or not, there are still days in Mexico where we get to the power company at 9 a.m. to pay the power bill, electricity bill, I don't know what you call it here, the hydro bill, and the lineup is right around the block. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we didn't make the counter to pay the electricity bill that day. So we're a little used to things taking a bit longer. And I remember a man in a bank. We stood there for hours, and he was just on his holidays. And he got so frustrated. He was from Texas, and he wanted just to change some money into pesos. And finally, he couldn't stand it. And as he walked out, I heard him say, if I could flatten this place, I would make a profitable parking lot out of it. Well, he was frustrated it was taking so much time. Well, we live in a day when just a few buttons are pressed and we want to see results. But our little verse here says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And so what I'm trying to say is there a believer here today and you've had a Sunday school class for years and you haven't seen much transpire? You've been doing something for God, and maybe you're starting to think it's just a waste. It's pointless. Nothing's happened. Time, after many days, thou shalt find it. If you ever visit Puerto Vallarta, an assembly there, I'm pretty sure that one of the first people you'll see as you come in to a meeting, because he's always there very early, he's a very wiry man, almost 80. His name is Pancho. You know, Pancho was a 10-year-old orphan in central southern Mexico. His mother died giving birth to him. And his father had died 7 months before he was born. So he was taken in by the local priest. And he had a little place there, a mat where he slept in the parish of the Catholic Church. One day, for the first time in his life, he heard a buzzing he had never heard before. And he ran out to see, and here was the first time in his life he saw an airplane. And from the airplane, hundreds and hundreds of leaflets fell to the ground. And he ran to pick them up. And other children went, and people of the community. And here it was gospel papers, gospel tracts. He didn't know how to read or write, but he got his grandmother to read the stories to him. And he hid them under his mat. The priest, he asked that everyone collect everything they had picked up, and he made a bonfire in the plaza, in the square, and he burnt it all up. Pancho grew up, left the church, and moved to the coast, to Puerto Vallarta, 50 years later. He's walking through the main square in PTL, and a sister in the assembly handed him a gospel tract. Still doesn't know how to read or write, but she read to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He says, just like a backtracking, like a rewind, his mind went back to when he was 10 years old. That was exactly the verse he remembered from the paper that fell from the sky. He came to the hall. He was saved. I think it was that same night. 50 years later, that bread cast upon the waters, it was found after many days. You know, Pancho is a very dear friend of mine, brother in the Lord. Some of you might have heard he has learned to read a little bit by studying his Bible. He loves to get up in the prayer meeting. He's saved later in life, and it's so hard for him. But we find it very amusing sometimes to see the effort he makes. You know, one night on a Tuesday night at the prayer meeting, I don't know if this has happened to you, but Pancho was up praying and he said, "Lord, and we remember tonight what the prophet said. He said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I've forgotten what the prophet said, and now I've forgotten the prophet's name. And on he went with his prayer. But you know, every time I see him, I am reminded of this kind of situation here. Just a gospel paper. Who those believers were flying that plane, he won't find out probably till the judgment seat of Christ. 50 years later, God used those words, impressed indelibly upon his heart, to bring him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In the city of Vancouver, I refer to Vancouver because I lived there for 10 years, but Jim Frith was my brother-in-law. He suddenly died about 3 or 4 years ago. But I remember when Jim and I were going door-to-door in the summer of 1980, looking for Sunday school children. We came across an Oriental family recently come over from China. And there was a little girl, Karen, and her brother. And Jim took it to heart to see that those children were at Sunday school every Sunday. And so it was, the little girl, till she reached grade 11, she finally quit coming to Sunday school. She was embarrassed with her other friends from school. And she stopped coming. And then she got married. She graduated from college and she got married. And she was away from Vancouver for 10 years. And then her husband found employment back in the city. And they came back into Vancouver and they were driving around with a real estate officer looking for a house to buy. And here's this young Chinese mother. And as she drove by the Victoria Drive Gospel Hall, where she had been in Sunday school all through her elementary years, in the back seat, without saying anything to the real estate agent or to her husband, she said, "Oh God, could there be a house close to the hall? Because I would like my children to attend that Sunday school." And so it was. They bought a house just a few blocks from the Victoria Drive Gospel Hall and started attending a Sunday school. The little children in their class and Karen and her husband Hoy in adult classes. And then two young fellows in the assembly, decided to try and use a hall close by that had a Sunday school, but now no other type of gathering, no other type of meeting. And they started some gospel meetings. And they asked if I could come up and give them a hand, which I did. And Karen and Hoy attended a week of gospel meetings. And on a Sunday afternoon, in a gospel supper back at the Victoria Drive Gospel Hall, just before thanks was given for the meal, Karen and Hoy, just a few moments apart from each other, sitting at a table there, trusted in Christ as their Savior, have been baptized and brought into assembly fellowship. Again, cast thy bread upon the waters. It might go a long distance. You might not see anything for a long, long time. But after many days shalt thou find it. The time involved. And then, of course, at the end of the verse, we have the treasure. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, "Be not weary of well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." God has promised to bless his work. And if you are discouraged this afternoon and maybe impatient, God help you to have stickability in what you're trying to do for him. And in due time, maybe even not here, but surely at the judgment seat of Christ, you will see the treasure, the reward of your labor, as you see God blessing when you thought maybe it wasn't worth at all. Just as I close, I hadn't thought of this just till right now. Joe Turgington, Alan's father, used to say, "You know, some of my best thoughts leave me when I'm on the platform, but some of my best thoughts come to me when I'm on the platform." But this little illustration comes to heart. I lived in the basement of a hall in Vancouver for a while, and there was a Sunday school work upstairs. There was a brother that for years, was very, very faithful in his work. And he told me of a house on a Saturday morning, and he was looking for children He could see several toys out in the yard and little bicycles, and so he thought, there's a good house. And he went to the door, and lots of little children running around. And the mother wasn't interested at all, younger woman. She wouldn't have anything to do with it. But he conversed with her a bit. And finally, all of a sudden, old grandmother started making her way down the stairs. And she interrupted and she said, "Excuse me, where did you say this Sunday school was?" So he explained, "It's over here on Pender and Hastings." And she said in her quivering voice, "Not to worry, the children will be there at 11:15. So he was a little puzzled. He said to her, "Now, you seem to know about it. Could I ask why you're so sure that the children will be there? You want them to be there." She said, "When I was a girl, I went to that Sunday school. And on Sundays, after Sunday school, our teacher, Doris Easton, would take us home and show us how to bake cakes and cook meals. And we would spend the afternoon with her. And those were the happiest days of my life." And so God help you, sister, brother, young or old, sow the seed. After many days, you will find it.